I refuse to be haunted.
I just want to give you the creeps.
Okay, so this is it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dread on Arrival. I'm Brittany.
I'm Katie.
And this is a podcast that we're doing for no reason at all. I am a horror fan. I've loved horror since I was little, and it terrifies me, but I love it. And Katie, on the other hand...
I don't get scared of anything, unless it's real.
Yeah, she doesn't really experience, like, normal human fear. An example of this would be when we went through the haunted house, and I was so scared that I held on to her the entire time, and she didn't even flinch. That's so...
It's super obviously fake.
I know, but the anticipation, it kills me. Anyways.
It's just for funsies, like, it's super clearly made up.
Exactly.
I cannot immerse myself in fiction, I guess.
And that gave us the idea to do a podcast where I suggest horror films that I have seen. Sometimes I haven't seen them, but these first few will be ones that I have seen that I've suggested that she watches, and we kind of get a, not necessarily not horror fan, but somebody who doesn't normally watch it, their opinion on it, and if it's scary or not.
Sorry.
I know, but...
Spoiler
alert! yeah, so speaking of spoiler alerts, we're going to be talking about movies in depth, so if you haven't seen them and you don't want spoilers, get the fuck out. Alright, so for the first movie I had her watch, I picked The Possession from 2012. It stars Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Kira Sedgwick, some other people. The reason I picked this movie, okay, also Modest Yahoo is in this movie, which is another reason I picked it, because I love Modest Yahoo. I also think it's just a really unique way of doing a possession with the Dybbuk and Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Dean Jeffrey Morgan. He's got three first names, first of all.
I don't know who anyone is, so I'm literally just going to be referring to them as, like, dad and mom and child.
That's perfect. I just think he's a babe, and so that's like, it's a bonus for me. So yeah, that's pretty much the reason why I picked it. I love the cast. I think it's a really clever movie. I think the scares are super original. There's not too much CGI, and like the part where they're trying to exorcise her, I just love it because it's basically like a Modest Yahoo concert, but like a performance. He's just reading from his book. Okay, so I guess first question is, did you like this movie?
It wasn't my favorite.
That's okay.
Compared to, like, other ones I've watched. I felt like it was just kind of slow getting into it, and I think I kind of had high expectations, because when did you say it came out?
2012.
Oh, okay. I thought it came out when I was in, like, high school. So clearly not. I remember hearing about the Dybbuk box, like way, 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 way back in the day, and that freaked me out because, like, when stuff is actually real, it freaks me out. And so I think, like, I kind of knew about that going into it, like, the actual story behind it, and it was just kind of like, oh boy, just found a thing, and lots of very stereotypical, like, horror movie things where it's like, I'm going to follow this plot line exactly.
Right. I can see that. I think there's a lot of possession movies to choose from. I think the Dybbuk box is definitely, like, a unique take on it. I like how you, like, physically have this item that exists in real life. And I kind of like the mystery of, like, when they're opening it and seeing, like, all the little different trinkets in it and stuff, which is kind of cool, but it does definitely follow, like, a very typical possession movie plotline. But, you know, it's 2012, so I don't think we can expect too much out of that.
I feel like it would have been more interesting if they had gone into, like, the history of the objects in it and stuff. It was kind of just like, here are different things. Look, they're creepy. There's a tooth. Ah. Like, okay, but, like, in real life, I think they said it was, I think they also said in the movie that it was, like, from the 30s or whatever, but, I think it was from, like, you know, World War II era, Holocaust-y type thing, and it's, like, that stuff automatically has way bad vibes to it,
mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, if they had kind of worked that element into it a little more, I feel like it would have been more interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, now that you say that, it could be, like, a cool thing where they maybe, like, pick it up later, too, where they revisit the box, like, maybe there's a new owner, because, in the end, the, rabbi, I guess you would call him, or Modest Yahoo, I'm just gonna call him Modest Yahoo,
okay, sure.
Where he's driving and his vehicle's hit, like, that ending surprised me,
yeah.
First of all, and so you know that box is, like, on a journey to, like, go find someone else,
isn't that, like, in Zach Bagans' horror basement in real life?
Is it? Oh, Jesus.
I don't remember, but I thought... I don't know, it was on eBay, like, 9 million times. Like, people, because, like, that guy, the antique store owner or whatever, mm-hmm. is the person who actually owned it, and then he, like, gave it to his mom, and then she was like, evil box, stroke, blah, 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 and then, like, he tried to sell it in his store a bunch of times, and people kept returning it, yeah.
Was that a story that M did?
Maybe?
Probably. Or maybe that was a doll. I don't know. I'm referring to, for our listeners, M from And That's Why We Drink. I guess just a little sidebar. Katie and I, we first started listening to podcasts when we got into And That's Why We Drink. I believe I was on, like, the episode where M was talking about their days in clown school. And I came to Katie's house for, like, a summer family movie night with our other friends, and I was like, I'm listening to this podcast and I don't know if I like it. One of them went to clown school. I just don't know how I feel about it. I ended up continuing it, and then Katie, you just binged it. You caught up to me so fast, and I think
everything.
You do. At some point I think you surpassed me too, and then I was trying to catch up with you, but now we're both caught up. We've seen them how many times live?
Twice. It would have been 4 times.
Right. So we've seen them live in Seattle and Portland. We, like, made a special trip for it, and we met them, and they're really, really nice and really, really cool. If you don't know, check it out. It's And That's Why We Drink. One person does a true crime story, and one person does a paranormal story. So definitely check that out. back to, I guess, the Dybbuk box. That's what I was trying to figure out, is if M had done a story on that, but I don't know.
I just remember hearing about it. It might have been, like, a Diamond and Ted thing.
Okay.
That they were talking about, like, some special, like, 9 million years ago on the radio, because I remember hearing something about it on the radio and being like, that's scary!
That is scary! Also, like,
in real life,
Zach Bagans just has, like, this museum of just bad things. Like, nothing in there is good. Why would anybody want that?
I don't know. But it's like a museum, right? Though
right.
It's, like, separate. He has his, like, horror, creepy stuff museum. It's not like he lives there, so.
That's true. Not like the Warrens. The Warrens have, like, had their museum of cursed and positively haunted objects and stuff. And I think actually... Oh, what?
I watched the... Which, I don't remember the name of it, but, you know, the one with Vera.
Oh, yeah, The Conjuring.
The Conjuring?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw their cursed basement.
Cursed basement. Basements are just a bad idea in general, I think. So we talked about what you liked about the movie before we move on to what you didn't like. Is there anything else you wanted to say that you liked about it?
I liked the, like, cinematography and stuff. It had that, like, the atmosphere was good.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like a lot of it was very typical.
Yeah.
So I think there wasn't anything that, like, stood out where I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Right. I think it's definitely a guilty pleasure of mine, and I told you, read my mind. This is why we're best friends, because I was thinking the atmosphere, and, you know, like, even though it's typical, it has a really cool, like, mood and feeling to it, especially the part, actually, where the little girl, and I love her outfit in this. I think I sent you guys an image to the group chat where she's wearing, like, that long gray t-shirt and boots, and she looks like she hasn't slept in a week, and I'm like, that's a mood, that's a vibe, that's a look.
I feel like, you guys have similar sense of style.
Me and the possessed child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, but one thing, when I was watching that movie, though, oh gosh, I can't remember the specific thing why I should go back through my weird little, like, recording myself watching it thing, but I was like, oh shit, was I actually a little bit possessed as a child? Because I did have my demon days, where I was psycho and, had demon strength. I still have demon strength, but, I don't know. There were just, like, some similarities, and I cannot remember specifically what they were. That's the first movie I watched, but, may have been a little possessed.
I was gonna say, you're a tiny person, and you are probably the strongest one out of our little family that we have. You are incredibly strong. I have snaps of you saved from, like, I think it was the New Year's Eve show where we went out to see our friends, and you're just, like, carrying people around the bar.
I picked up both of them. Although, I feel like it's less impressive picking them up than, like, my dad, because they're both skinny boys.
Well, I mean, if anything, I'm going to write this down, and I'm just going to start taking notes of any signs of you being possessed. Abnormal human strength is going at the top, so just know whatever demon is inside of you, I'm on to you. Okay. Also, sorry if you can hear the fireworks. Tomorrow is...
Okay, there's also a plane flying over at my place, like, right now.
Okay, cool. Also, I guess I should take this moment to say we are going to be hopefully getting some better recording equipment. We just wanted to get this going because I've already watched her, like, Jesus fucking Christ. I've already had you watch three movies now, and we just wanted to start talking about them, so...
Did I watch four?
Probably.
One of them we're not talking. I don't remember.
I mean, we can. I think I just watched... I watched it, and I was like, I really liked this movie.
It was a good one.
It was. Cool. So, what didn't you like? Like, what did you really, really dislike about this movie? Or what do you think could have made it better?
I feel like this is going to be a running theme with me, but it's the whole, like, nuclear family heteronormative bullshit.
Agreed. Yeah.
I feel like, is a thing that happens in horror movies a lot, where it's just like, look, here's a nuclear family. Here's this shitty dad being shitty. And, like, he wasn't trying to be shitty. Like, I guess it kind of is, again, like, society stuff, where it's like, oh, men, bare minimum work. Oh, being a father, you just have to contribute sperm, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
The whole dynamic, it's just like, okay, yes, we get it, horror movie, but that's literally just how life is for, like, most people.
Right. I feel like he at least was trying to provide a better, like, home life for his daughters, like, give them more of, like, a stable life.
Like, he got a house instead of getting, or, like, his apartment or whatever, they mentioned that at the beginning.
Yeah, they got, like, a new house, and he, like, took them out to, or actually his oldest daughter was like, hey, Dad, you need dishes for your new house, so he, like, let them, you know, kind of go through all that stuff and, like, pick their own little things out. I think he tried to make them comfortable and feel, like, at home and stuff. And he also, like, broke the rules a little bit and let them, you know, eat pizza or whatever it was that they had. So I feel like, as far as, like, bad horror movie dads go, he is more towards the top because he actually gives a shit, you know?
Yeah, he did try. And also, I kind of felt like the kids were a little over the top, or maybe, I don't know, like, the dude, I hate you, that stuff. Typical, you're ruining my life. Oh, I'm an angsty teen. Blah blah blah. And it's like, okay, we get it.
Again, oh, the older
it's
sister.
A horror movie.
Yeah.
And the whole, oh, I think it was, he was like having dinner with them. I think the first night at the house or whatever. And the older daughter was like trying to get the younger daughter to realize like the parents weren't gonna get back together.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, don't say stuff like that to your sister. He's like, you freaking got divorced. Like, why are you still trying to, like, tell your kid that you're getting back together? why are you keeping that lie going? That's stupid.
I don't know. I feel like
they pretty much did get back together at the end because the power of love and family.
I feel like he didn't really. I don't know. I feel like the divorce was more like the mom's idea. I feel like he probably still cared about her and like wanted to make things work, but he had his priorities kind of messed up for a while, so she was like, you know what, you're done, we're done, I'm gonna take this dentist.
That was kind of the point of the whole movie. It was like, here's this big scary thing and it's gonna bring this family back together. Yeah,
I thought it was cute though. I just really like the characters.
And terrible.
Usually I am too, but this movie, I don't know, I think the daughter,
dad was hot.
It's true, but also the little girl that gets possessed, she reminds me of my younger sister because she was like starting a petition about like not eating animals. My sister's been a vegetarian since she was like 10 years old, like more than like half of her life now she's been strict vegetarian, and she like made a petition and she's making posters, and she reminds me of my little sister. I think that's why this movie also, like, holds a special place in my heart, because I see her kind of like my little sister, I guess. That's probably it, too.
That makes more sense. Like, you actually are a big sister.
That's true.
I only have a brother.
And you're the baby, so.
I am the baby.
Oh, another thing that's going on the list of why Katie's probably possessed.
It's always the baby that's possessed?
I guess so, yeah. All right. Are there any scenes that stuck out to you as scenes that you thought were cool or well done or thought were just too over the top?
I don't know about, like, too over the top, because, like, it's a horror movie and
right.
You have to have over the top stuff. I don't know, like, the moth scene stuck out.
Yes!
Like, ew. I don't want that many moths.
Those were cool moths. Those were big-ass moths.
They were. They have, like, big, juicy bodies, and that's what I like,
juicy!
They were. Like, no, you smack that, it's gonna be gooey.
Yeah, it's gonna be a problem.
I don't like gooey things. And, like, yeah, thinking about the exterminator and that many moths. Like, does he have a giant moth vacuum? What are you doing with all these giant moths? That's a real question.
That reminds me of the exterminator from Men in Black. He just, those roaches.
I want to know about the cleanup crew. Like, if it was a real situation, like, and you had to clean up all that shit, that just seems really unpleasant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Any of them. All of them.
Oh my god. Okay, so there are a few scenes that I absolutely love. I'm just going to gush here a minute. I am a huge fan of practical effects. I think this is probably the reason I like Saw so much also, is because you can get really creative with practical effects, and it's really hard to make them look believable. I feel like if you don't have it look real, it kind of takes you out of the story and out of the setting. So, like, the scene where the little girl is just, like, chilling in her cool outfit that I love in the front yard, and her would-be stepdad, the dentist, is, like, getting ready to, like, leave or whatever, and his teeth start falling out. I love that scene. I love the tension building that it does. I love, like, the really subtle thing with the leaves, and she's just standing there, and so no one can say that it's her. She's just looking at him like she just looks like, oh, what's going on? And his teeth just start falling out, and it's perfect because he's a dentist, right?
Yeah.
And it's just disgusting, and I love the effects are perfect.
I also enjoyed that because he's kind of a piece of shit.
Yes!
Like, he's like, look, oh, you don't like me too bad. I'm gonna date your mom, and like, I think that's probably an experience a lot of kids have had. Like,
right?
Having shitty step-parents or whatever. And them not caring and being like that in front of the kid and not like that in front of the mom or, you know, whatever parent. But, yeah. It's kind of a power fantasy, I think.
Oh, I hate it.
The little girl. Like, oh, like, little girls are like the least powerful people ever. Like, they're just a tiny little child and they can't do anything, and then it's like, haha, too bad, sucker.
I'm gonna make all your teeth fall out.
Yeah, that was a really cool looking scene.
I liked it. Also, like, I was thinking about that too the other day, because I'm getting back into dating. And I was talking to this guy who has kids, and I was just thinking about, like, that dynamic between, like, the new, like, spouse and the kids. Like, how would you approach that? Like, if what if they didn't like me? And, like, if a kid doesn't like you, I feel like you should be like, it's fine if you don't like me. I totally get it. You know, I'm going to respect you and treat you with kindness, even if you're mean to me. Like, even if it's hard, like, just treat them like a person. And at some point, they're either going to grow up and move out, or, you know, you guys are going to have at least a relationship, like a working professional relationship, or, you know, almost where, like, I don't like you, but we're going to tolerate each other and just make it as easy as possible, you know?
And I feel like most of the time, a little kid's not going to like you if you are the new person coming in. Like, they're just automatically not going to like you.
Right.
Because there's always, or 99% of the time, I think, in that situation, the fantasy that, like, your actual parents are going to get back together, and then this person comes in and they're in the way. So, like, they're not going to like you because of that.
Exactly. Exactly.
And continue to respect them and, like, treat them like a human and don't, you know, force your presence on them and, you know, force yourself as a new authority figure if you don't, like, try and take on this parent role as mm-hmm. well, and you're just there as a backup and, like, as a support. It's not.
Exactly. You should be a person of support for them. Like, if they need you, cool. Let me know if you need anything. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's why I think that's just so sweet when she's like, you know what? I'm going to take out your tea.
Uh-huh. Ugh. Yeah. You don't respect me? How about I destroy your career? Who's going to want to go to a toothless dentist?
He could just be like, you know what, little Jimmy? You should floss, because if you don't, and he just, like, takes out his teeth, and he's like, this is going to happen to you. So he could, like, instill the fear of gums into John.
There, you saved his career. Good job.
Thank you. I'll send him a tweet. Another scene that I really liked was actually in the trailer, too, and this sticks out to me, is when she's looking in the mirror, and she's like, oh boy, I'm not feeling well, and she opens her mouth, and she sticks the flashlight in there, and just these fingers come up. Oh.
Uh-huh. Creepy, like, bleh.
Oh,
and
so
sensitive gag reflex. No, thank you.
And, like, that baby, she's not breathing, right? Because this whole last arm is coming up her, you know, esophagus, like her tube or whatever, and, like, why are you flexing to this kid? Like, are you just, like, waving and saying hi, or you just want to creep her out? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I also, like, if you are hiding inside a child and trying to, like, take over their body, wouldn't you try and be a little subtle at first?
Right.
Although, I feel like the Dybbuk box thing, it's, like, almost like an addiction. She was weirdly obsessed with it, and it's like obviously pleasant things are not happening to her, but she doesn't want to give it up.
Right, and she's wearing the ring, so like there's like this connection there, and she can't break it, and like you can tell that she's scared. Like there's that part where she's, oh, this part's good, where the mom comes downstairs and she's like, what is going on in this kitchen? And for some reason the mom doesn't turn on the light, because who turns on lights in scary movies?
Yeah, why would you do
that? Right, like why do you want to see what's actually happening? And the little girl,
oh, no, why would you wear slippers?
Exactly. Right. She's just sitting there eating that raw meat in the fridge, and she's crying because this little baby is a vegetarian, and for some reason the Dybbuk is like, you know what sounds good? Raw meat. And so, like, the mom knows something is wrong. I think that's when she takes her to get, like, the scan or whatever, because, like, this child is not acting normal at this point.
I mean, it probably takes a lot of calories possessing someone.
I guess.
So, you gotta gorge yourself. That was one of the first things, too, like, the breakfast or whatever after the Dybbuk, which is,
oh,
like,
shit,
nom nom and on those pancakes or waffles or whatever, and then stabs. That's the thing. That's what reminded me of where I was like, was I possessed? Because I stabbed my brother in the leg with a ballpoint pen when I was a child. There
okay. I'm adding that to the list as well.
I was mentally ill.
Look, it's the first episode, and we've already got three things on the list as far as, like, whether or not you're possessed or not. I love it. I don't know. I'll look this up for episode whatever. Because
we'll
we
have, like, a pros and cons list.
I like it. Oh, geez. And, like, I know, I think the Dip book, that specific one, it seeks out children, but, like, I feel
Yeah, the name of it in the movie.
Right. I feel like you would want an adult, because more room, probably more fatty tissue, more calories to eat off of.
Stretch out.
Exactly. Like, is that person fat, or are they pregnant, or are they possessed? Like, you know, like, no one would question it.
That was a good scene when they did the scan with the creepy face.
Yes, because, I agree. Sorry, I cut you off.
Mom was finally like, oh, okay, it's not just a medical thing. Oh, and my ex-husband did not slap my child.
Yes, yep. That part pissed me off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing. I always get irritated, like, when there's movies where the protagonist is rightfully pissed off by a bunch of stuff that's going on, but everybody else is like, oh, why are you being so uptight? Ah, I hate that so much.
The face you made. The rage. No, and, like, the older daughter, she's known the dad longer. She knows her dad. She knows his temperament. She knows what he's like when he gets angry. She should know that, like, he did not slap her. And she knows her sister. She knows that she's, like, not acting normal. Like, that older sister should have known better. Like, yo, this is a little weird.
WTF, mate.
Yeah. But, I mean, she's also a teenage girl. She's probably only, like, thinking about herself right now and her dancing stars or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. Well.
I also felt like that was unrealistic. Like, who just hangs out in the garage dancing to, like, your boombox? I guess if you're on the dance team.
So I used to do that, actually, with my neighbor kids. I used to have this really long deck that went, like, the full length of the front of my house. And it looks like a stage. So we would, like, put on plays. We would get, like, a boombox out, and we, like, I had that think pink Barbie tape, and we would, like, choreograph dances to it. And, like, Aqua, one of the girls had an Aqua CD. So we would choreograph dances to that and make our parents, like, sit in the lawn and watch us. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a Leo though. So, I mean, that makes sense.
I made my parents watch me sing while I stood on a chair.
That's, like, the same thing.
It was songs from Pocahontas.
Oh, that's cute.
And by songs, I mean it was Colors of the Wind over and over and over and over and over and over, because that's the only one I knew the lyrics to. Anyway.
See, kids do that kind of stuff, so it's not, like, out of the realm of possibility to perform in your garage. Yeah, it's true.
I'm 12, but...
Yeah. It's been a while since I've been an angsty teen. Cool. So,
I got my angsting out early. By being a possessed child.
Yeah.
And then by teen, I was like, okay.
You mill it out real quick. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, so as the first movie that you watched, I think maybe we'll do, like, a rating system, like 1 to 10, 10 being, like, scary or good. Should we do scary or good? Or creepy?
I don't know, because, like, even the ones that I like, I don't really get scared by.
I know. Let's do a scale of 1 to 10. How much? How what?
How possessed is this movie?
Oh, God. on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being a lot and 1 being 0, how much did you enjoy this movie and this experience?
Like a 4 or 5.
Oh, no. Okay. Uh-huh. All right.
Well, I didn't hate it. But it was just a very, like, average.
It's average.
And, yeah, just, like, again, the lead-in was kind of, like, slow. And then I think another thing, again, it was just, like, this story is very
typical.
It's specific to this one culture, and then they, like, left out a whole bunch of stuff. Like, the thing you mentioned with it being, like, oh, this is a child eating spirit or whatever. Pretty sure Dybbuk is, like, not even actually a demon. It's been a while since I've, like, actually heard about what it is, but they're, like, just a person spirit who's, like, turned away from God or whatever, which they kind of touch on a little bit, but it's, like, it's this very, like, oh, here's this very Jewish cultural thing that we're gonna touch on for, like, 30 seconds of the movie, and their whole, like, oh, you have to have faith to get rid of the thing, and blah, blah, blah. It's, like, none of them are Jewish except the guy who's, like, performing the exorcism.
Oh, Mattis Yahoo?
Where's the faith coming from? So,
Okay, no, that actually, that's fair. That makes sense. So if they had actually cut out some of the more typical stuff and put in more of, like, the lore and the backstory, it probably would have rated higher for you. I feel like that's fair.
I think it would have made it more interesting.
Definitely.
It was like, a lot of framework and not a lot of, art. Stretched over,
yeah,
not that much material stretched over a very wide framework.
That's fair. I think it has a fairly short run time too. I think it's what average is like an hour and a half. They probably could have stretched that, like given us like an extra like 15 minutes. Like, that's not a whole lot to do like some backstory and like building.
Or like cut out some of the stuff in the beginning because it was like a lot of, oh boy, we're riding a car to a new house. And mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. And then, like, toward the end, it definitely is way more interesting when you start learning about, like, oh, this is what the object is, blah, blah, blah. Like, there could have been a lot more of that.
Yeah, totally. I just checked also. It's an hour and 32 minutes. So, yeah, they totally could have fleshed that out a little bit more.
Pretty average in all respects.
Okay, cool. So, before we close out the discussion on The Possession, is there anything else you want to add? Okay, how would you rate the moths? I'm just kidding. cool, so I was thinking, and we might change this later, oh, these goddamn fireworks. I was thinking, at the end of each episode, we could do, like, a would you rather question, kind of related to creepy stuff. I don't have my notes, so I'm gonna go off the top of my head. Katie, would you rather spend the night in an abandoned, creepy, decrepit building or a cemetery? Like, you gotta sleep there.
Mm-hmm. Is the building actually known for being haunted, or is it just creepy?
I think it's just creepy and falling apart. But you gotta consider, are there people who don't have homes living there?
Mm-hmm. I mean, do I get a tent?
You can bring whatever you want.
Do I get an air mattress?
You can bring whatever you want.
Depending on the time of year, I don't know, neither of them really freak me out. Although, I feel like there could be toxic mold and shit in an abandoned building. So maybe cemetery?
Okay, cool.
Cemeteries are cool. I like them.
Definitely. You know, spend an evening with the dead, you know, with Julia and her family.
Yeah.
We'll have to tell them about Julia in a different episode. Yeah, so I guess that's it for our first episode of Dread on Arrival. Next episode, I think we'll probably upload these two on the same day. The next episode, I had you watch the movie. Oh shit, this is gonna be fun. Insidious. Right? So I think Insidious is gonna be more up your alley, just based on the notes that you sent me. Yeah. Cool. Okay, sorry you guys. Awkward first episode. Thank you for listening. Keep it creepy. Other people say that, don't they?
Yes.
Okay, we don't have a cool outro yet, but we're gonna work on it, and I guess we'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.